Good morning. Welcome to Los Forteras, and it's a fantastic day to be able to worship God. What a beautiful day he's given to us. Some announcements before we begin. As you know, Matt is not here, so I'll be bringing the message. Matt's better looking than I am, but that's okay. You don't need to be good looking to get into heaven. It's who you know, and that's who we came here to worship today. It's all about Jesus, and that's who we want to worship. Some few announcements. I have a couple very quickly that I want to highlight, and I actually highlight them in another bulletin and not this one. So give me a second to get my glasses out. Heck of a thing getting old, but that's okay. All right, a couple announcements. Monday night, I think it's 7:30. Go ahead, Pam.
Monday evening at 7:30, we have every member council meeting. Come on out and join us for every member council meeting. We'll be talking about the budget and Pastor Matt's salary for 2017. The other thing is on Tuesday evening is transitional team meeting. And that is for all members of the ministry teams here at the church. Please come out at 7 p.m. And then also, just a highlight, it's Christmas season soon, and so if you'd like to purchase poinsettias to help us beautify the sanctuary, there's a sign-up sheet out in the narthex. Thanks.
Okay, a couple other announcements that are in your bulletin, but I'm going to make the announcements anyway. One of them is next Sunday, come out here for lunch. We have soup and sandwiches. And I believe that's support to youth, is that correct?
Yep.
All right. And then you're going to find a flyer in your paper, in your bulletin as well. Look over it and pray about it. So some things we need to work on. And one other announcement that I have is that there's no men's ministry breakfast this month. Instead, we're going to have it in December. Okay? And that's about the only announcement I have. Is there anybody else with announcements? Okay, it's not seeing any. Let's get up and greet everyone for a time of meet and greet. Thank you.
Good morning, church family. We just want to welcome everybody, and please join us. We're going to start with Come Let Us Worship and Bow Down. It is in your pamphlet on page 13, but the words will also be projected.
Come let us worship and bow down. At this time, we want to lift up any joys and concerns that we have. And Jerry, if you want to take the microphone around. And if you have any joys or concerns, just raise your hand and we'll get the microphone to you.
I just want to highlight that keep Daryl Yunker in prayer. He was at the Good Sam Hospital for testing.
I have a joy that I heard that I'm going to be a great grandma again.
Oh. I understand that Carol Sanchez fell at home and was taken to the Reading Hospital this week, and I guess she's still there. She's still in the hospital. So keep Carol in your prayers. And Catherine Wanger is home. Okay, Catherine Wanger is home. Keep her in your prayers also. Any others? Let's bow our heads and lift our hearts toward the Lord. Wow, Lord, we just want to thank you for allowing us to be here this morning. What a beautiful fall day you've given us. And we just want to thank you for your son, Jesus. We thank you for the opportunity to know him and to love him and to just have him in our heart and ask him into our heart, and that we can just have the glory and honor of being able to be witnesses for him. We pray that we can go out into this world and just show others and tell others about him, that through Jesus, your son, that it's the only way to heaven. We want to thank you and praise you that we have so many others that we know and love. So many friends and other members of the congregation. And we pray now, Lord, for those who are in our hospitals, those of our members who are at home who are hurting, those who need healing, both physical, spiritually, maybe mentally. And we just pray that we might be able to lift up those who are listed in our bulletin and those who have been announced here this morning for Daryl and Carol. And we rejoice in new life and new grandparents and new parents and new birth. And we just pray that you touch the hearts of all of us this morning, that we can come through this past week. And we know for some it's been a rough week, and we know that through you, your healing touch might be upon us, and that we might be just graciously healed through your word. Lord, we just pray now that you might lift each one of us up, that you might lift our spirits and be with us through this coming week. And we do pray, Lord, that we might be able to share your word. And as we studied in Sunday school, that we might be able to just be able to know the right thing to say when someone asks us about why we believe and what we believe. And we know that, Lord, that it's through you that you will give us those words to speak. Lord, we pray that you be with Pastor Matt, as he's not with us this morning, and we pray that you continue to use him in his ministry. And we pray that you be with Brother Bud this morning as he brings your message to us. And Lord, we just know that it's through you that we can live this life here on earth, and we know that we have so much more to look forward to in heaven. And it's through your name that we pray. Amen. For the offering this morning, I just want to share from 1 Thessalonians. It's one of my favorite verses in the Bible. And Mary and I had the privilege to go to a concert Friday evening at Calvary Church in Lancaster, and we heard Tim Lovelace. And if you've ever heard Tim Lovelace, he's sort of a comedian slash musician. But his big thing that night was, we should be joyful. We're Christians, we should be joyful in everything. We should just be happy. And he's quite the comedian. We really enjoyed him. And 1 Thessalonians, the fifth chapter, verses 16, 17, and 18. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. I was thinking this past week, we're coming into Thanksgiving season, and we should be so thankful for what we have and what we can share. And this morning, let's share that joy and our abundance in our morning offering. Let's pray. Father, we lift these gifts before you this morning, and we pray that you might be able to use them for the work of the church, for the glorifying of your name. And we pray that as we give these gifts, that you might touch the hearts of each of us. For it's in your name we pray. Amen.
Children this morning that would like to come front with me. This is my little kitty that you hear saying meow. She knows I'm allergic to cats. You like bubbles? Well, I'm going to blow some bubbles. Yeah, more kitties? Oh, my. Well, I'll tell you what. Instead of sneezing, I'm going to blow bubbles. Yeah. Boy, things go away so quickly. What do you guys see in these bubbles? What do you think
air.
About the bubbles?
Air?
There's air in the bubbles? Let's see if we can get these guys involved over here. Are they all alike? Are they all alike?
I love bubbles.
We all love bubbles. What happened to that one?
Maybe you
it popped. So
purple.
Are they all alike?
Purple.
No. Graham says no. Some go up.
Some go down.
Some go down.
Some go up.
So, you didn't catch any? All right, one more. One more. What? Why would we blow bubbles? Why would we blow bubbles?
Maybe it's fun.
It's fun. Graham says it's fun. It's fun. Not for you, it's not fun?
Are we each trying to get one to hit a bubble?
I can't blow that many bubbles. Why would we want to blow bubbles? Graham says because it's fun.
It's exciting.
It's exciting?
And I love it.
We love it. How do we feel when we blow bubbles?
Happy.
Happy? Look back here. Do these people all look happy?
No.
No, they don't look happy. They didn't get into bubble making, did they?
They do look happy.
Well, I'm going to use a word today. The purpose of the bubbles, you told me, they're fun. They make us happy. They're all different, just like the people back here. They're all different. Some are older. Some of our bubbles didn't last to be old. So let's sit down. I want to know if you know. How about if some of these older boys know what the word purpose means? Daniel, can you sit down? Thank you. Do you know what the word purpose means? Well, I didn't either. So I went to the computer, and I wanted to be sure I had it right, so I wrote it down. The purpose of the bubbles are to give us fun and enjoyment. The computer said purpose. The reason for which something is done or created or for which something exists. So we exist. How are those bubbles like our lives? Graham?
Because if you pop them, they don't live that long.
They don't live that long. We think we have a long time to live, and some of these people back here have lived a long time. I want to read you a scripture verse here. Can my kitty lay down for a minute and just snuggle down here by my feet? Oh, I love that. And I don't even have to sneeze. My scripture verse is Romans 8:28. And my kitty's still crying down here. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Well, the purpose of the bubbles is so we have fun and enjoyment. What do you think the purpose of God calling us? What does he tell us to do? What do you think our purpose is? LJ? Jesus? Well, what do we do with Jesus? Daniel? We love him. Good answer. He wanted someone to love, and he wanted someone to love him, so he created us. That was his purpose, to create us, to love him. Just like we love the bubbles, we love God even more. He wanted us to love him. Now, how can we love him? What can we do to love him? We could pray. Read the Bible. What's, Graham?
We can pray.
We can praise. We can pray. We can read the Bible. What would we find in the Bible to help us? What, this book here, what would that do to help us? What's in here that could help us? The Bible. What, is it any good if I just lay it here and just let it lay there? How's it going to help me? We need to read it. We need to read it and study it, and that's why we come to Sunday school, to read and study this Bible. We can do it at home, and it's pretty important to read and study that Bible. So, we learn from that Bible what God wants us to do. And sometimes God wants us just to sit quietly and listen to Him. Sometimes He wants us to be kitty cats, maybe when we're outside. But most of the time He wants us to study His Word. Why does He want us to study that? Because His purpose for us is to love Him. And we learn that by reading the Bibles. Everything that we do on earth is for God, to love and to serve Him. Our purpose is to go to heaven someday where we can love and praise Him and serve Him. That's why He created us, to love Him. So that book is pretty important. We're going to do something a little different today with our prayer. I'm going to say one line, and then I would like you to say that line and pray with me. Maybe the grown-ups back here could follow that too and say the same line. Okay, I'm going to say, Dear Lord, thank you for loving us, and creating us for a purpose. Thank you for giving us a way to get to heaven, so that we can praise and love you forever. Amen.
Amen.
Now, since I riled you all up with bubbles, I might have some here. Sorry about that. I leaned into the mic.
Can I pick one?
But you may each have one, but I want you to make me one promise.
What?
You will wait until you get out of church to blow bubbles.
Okay.
There's only two more left. Now what happens?
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bubbles?
The kitty wanted a bubble.
Thank you.
Deep the mother's
Thank you. Thank you, praise team. I want to make one correction very quickly before we start. You notice in the scripture verse for today is not Galatians 5, 1 through 10. No, it's actually Ephesians 1 through 20. And we're going to be looking at that a little bit later on, but that's the only correction. Isn't it good we don't have to be perfect? We just need to be forgiven. I want to start out by telling you a story. It's the difference between authority versus power. There is a difference between power and authority. If you have authority but no power, your authority is useless. For example, a government man was talking, or a government man was taking geological readings for the Department of the Interior. He approached one farmer and he said to him, "I've been authorized by the government to go out into your pasture and take some readings. Do you mind if I do that?" The farmer thought about it and he said, "You can't go out in my pasture." The government man got a little perturbed and brought out a piece of paper signed by the Secretary of the Interior. And he showed it to the farmer and he says, "See, I have the authority to go anywhere I want to take my readings." And the farmer thought about it. In the meantime, the government official decided he was going to climb over the fence and into the pasture. While he was in the pasture, he was setting up his equipment to take his readings. And while he was doing that, the ground started to rumble. He looked up and he saw this mean old bull with his head lower, tail up, and he's charging at him. Of course, the government official leaves his equipment, jumps up, and starts running for the fence, screaming to the farmer, "Help me, help me." And the farmer's thinking for a little bit, and he said, "Show him your papers." You see, the government official had the authority to do it, but he had no power to go in that field. But unlike him, Jesus gives us the power and the authority to do God's purpose. Let's open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for a beautiful day you've given to us, Lord. We have so much to be thankful for and to be grateful for how you take care of us with meeting our needs. But Lord, I just pray now that our hearts and minds can be open to your word, Lord, and that we can grow closer to you. We can build that relationship that we've been working so hard for. And as always, Lord, I thank you just for the opportunity to bring your message to my brothers and sisters. And as always, Lord, we are just want to bring you worship. God, you are so good to us, and we just thank you for sending your son. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. Believe it or not, folks, this is the third part of a three-part series that we started with. I don't know when we had the first part, but it was titled Living with Christ. And the first part we looked at was about grace. It all starts with God's grace. There is no sin that you can commit that God's grace cannot forgive. None. God loves us that much that he wants that relationship with us, so much so that it cost him his own son to die on that cross and shed his blood to forgive me of my sin. His sacrifice allowed me to have this relationship. As I said before, Christianity is not a religion. It is a relationship. It's a relationship between you and Christ. And it was paid through the blood of Christ. The second part of this, we look back to the second part. The second part was building this relationship, just like anybody else, just like our human relationships here on earth, our heavenly relationship is no different. You need to get to know the person. How do we do that? We get to know the person by reading scripture. The second thing we would do is what? We have to be able to talk to that person. Theologians like to call it prayer. I call it talking with God. Okay, it's my time to talk to God. And there's another part of that that we have to look at, which is listening to God. A lot of times we don't want to listen to him because we might not like what he's telling us. So we have to listen to him. So we have to talk to him, we have to listen to him, and we have to trust him. We have to build this relationship to the point that we can trust him. And the only way we can do that sometimes is through trials and tribulation. And we looked at gold. Just like gold has to be refined in a furnace, sometimes we need to go through the furnace to help us trust the Lord more. Which brings us to our third point. This is our third part, and the final part is purpose. Why am I here? It's a question that we ask ourselves from when we're getting ready to leave college to even when you get to be my age. As old as that may be, Gene, thank you. Sometimes we need to look at why are we here? Many times as a pastor, someone would be standing across who's going through some trial and tribulation or whatever they're going through in their life. Many times I get the same questions. Why am I here? What purpose does God want me here? We probably all ask that same question. And we probably all heard the same thing given, why hasn't God just called me home? After I accepted Christ, why didn't he just rapture me and I'm out of here? And that's something we're going to look at today. There's a reason for that. But the problem is, when I listen to the person and I try to find out where they are in their faith, I usually ask them a question. Do you truly want to know what God's purpose is for your life? And I ask them that because once you know your purpose, once you know why you're here and what you're supposed to be doing, you become responsible for it. You can't say to God, I never knew that. So today we're going to look at that, and we're going to look at Ephesians. If you would please turn to Ephesians chapter 5. And we're going to start with, we're not going to look at all 20 verses. Ephesians chapter 5, starting at verse 1. And we're only going to look at a couple of the verses. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, be imitators of God, as beloved children, and walk in the love as Christ loved us, and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. Then we're going to jump down to verses 8b through 10. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the light is found in all that is good and all that is right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. And then we're going to jump all the way to 15, guys, to 17. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what will of the Lord is. It sounds simple. It sounds simple when we look at that. What is the purpose of God? But to understand that, we really truly have to think about it. It is simple, but yet it's radical. It is also very costly. It could cost you your family members. It could cost you a friend. It could cost you coworkers. Just like it cost God his son, it could be very costly to you as well. If I was a heavenly salesman and I was knocking on your door and I was trying to sell you God's purpose, what would you be willing to pay for it? Or would you just shut the door and turn away? This is your last time, last chance you have to leave. Once we go on from here, you're going to know God's purpose and his purpose for you. So let's look at these verses one more time. therefore, be imitators of God. Paul is saying, be imitators of God. But yet, when we look at Scripture, how many times are we supposed to imitate Christ? Why God? Remember, our heavenly relationship is not much different than our relationship here on earth. Who do we want to imitate? Our parents, our father. So God, what Paul is saying is, God, be like, be imitators of Christ, or be imitators of God. And I'm going to add, use Christ as your example. And the reason I'm saying that is, when you look at Scripture and you look at the life of God, who was God, who was Christ imitating? His Father. It wasn't his will that was being done, it was the Father's will. Christ even said, it's not my will that I'm doing here, but my Heavenly Father. That's who I'm imitating. And that's whose will I'm trying to do. And then it goes on, and this is the part that I find very interesting, and walk in love as Christ. Why walk in love? If we look at God's character, one of God's character that I like the best is God is love. God is love. And I love that because it shows you what God's nature is all about. And it's so important to the next part. Look at what he said. As walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. So Paul's saying, imitate God, use Christ as your example, and be a willing sacrifice, just like Jesus Christ. The willing sacrifice is the part that sometimes gets complicated. But then Paul goes on in verses 8 through 10. He said, walk as children of the light, for the fruit of the light is found in all that is good and all that is right, and try to discern what is pleasing to God. How many people know what is pleasing to God? And how do we find that out? It's part of our relationship. Again, it goes back to being able to the 5 points of our relationship, and that's talking to God and listening. We need to talk to him. If you don't know what God wants you to do, just going off blindly, for example, if your father asked you to do something, you weren't quite sure what he asked you to do, and you went off blindly, what would happen? The odds are you would screw it up and get it wrong. At least I would, anyway. It's not about you. It's about God. And the only way you're going to find out is if you talk to him. You need to talk to God to find his purpose for you. And then the next part, you have to listen. You may not like the answer, but you have to listen, because it may mean that you need to be a sacrifice for him, which becomes very difficult. And then he goes on, discern the will. Discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Very difficult part. And we're going to show some examples of that later. The next thing it goes on, look carefully then how you walk. Let's try that again. Look carefully then how you walk, not as the unwise, but wise, making the best use of your time, because the days are evil. We need to walk as Christ. We need to show the world Christ. And the only way we do that is to live his life. It's not about us. We need to kill ourselves and we need to focus on him. So let's summarize very quickly. Let's look at verses 1 through, again. Paul's saying, imitate God as Christ is our example, and be a willing sacrifice for God. 3, he's saying, discern the will of God and live each day out as Christ. When we look at that and we look at these verses, that lays the groundwork for where we should be going, what we should be doing, what is our purpose. The verses in between that I skipped only tell you some things, how to live those lives, and I recommend reading it, taking some time and reading that this week, but it's not important. It brings us to the next part, and this is where our purpose truly comes in. The first part I like to tell you is just tools that we're supposed to be doing. The next part is the part we have to understand. Matthew chapter 28. Theologians call it the Great Commission. We like to give titles to things. I'm not quite sure why, but we do. He says, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. This is right after Christ died and rose again. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to you and given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I command you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the days. Jesus is getting ready to ascend into heaven. It's one of the last conversations that's recorded in Scripture. And it's important that we understand, go and make disciples of all the nations. We know what tools we have. We have all the tools now. We have the faith in Christ. We're trusting in him. But we now are called to be fishers of men. We are called to baptize others in the name of Christ, make disciples of all the nations. That doesn't mean going to Haiti. That doesn't mean going to mission. Not everybody's called to be in the mission field. Not everybody's called to be a pastor. Not everybody's called to be a theologian. But we are all called to make disciples of everyone. That means our neighbors, our friends, our family members. And some people say, well, I can't do it. But Jesus said that we have all the power and authority to do this, to do God's work, to do what his purpose is for us. See, it's not about you anymore. Once you accepted Christ, and once you trusted in him, and once you heard your purpose, it's not about us. When we accepted Christ, we became slaves, and I will use that word slaves, or servants, as Paul calls them sometimes. And when you look at the Greek, the word slave and servant are the same. They're the same Greek word. So we are slaves to Christ. It's no longer about doing our will, but it is doing the will of God. And Jesus Christ says to do what? Go and make disciples of all the nations. I'm thinking about our Haiti team, and I'm praying for those in our Haiti team. But one of the things they had to go through was to be able to be sure that they were called to do this. They needed to discern whether this is God's will or not. And I pray that they talked to God and God told them, this is what I want you to do. But there's another part that I pray for. It goes more than that. I pray that when they're down there, it's not about building a house. It's not about that. It's about showing them the love of Christ and what Christ has done for them. And as 1 Peter 3:15 says, be ready to give an account for what you believe. So I hope they show the love of God to others and are ready when people ask that they can talk to them about why they believe what they believe. So if we take a step back very quickly, we want to look at some of the tools that Paul laid down for us. One is imitate God. Two is be willing and be a loving and willing sacrifice for him. Know the will of God. Be ready to give an account and go and make disciples of all the nations. Some of the things we need to focus on. Which brings me to a couple more points and then we're closed. There was a fisherman, an avid fisherman. He had the best of everything. He had the best fishing rods, he had the best reels, he had the best line, He had the best boat. He had the best fish finder. He read all the books. He knew everything he was supposed to do. He knew everything. But he never caught a fish. Ever. And you're saying, how can that be, bud? And the reason is, he never went fishing. You see, we have the tools. We have what is required of us. We have the scripture. We have our friends. We have the authority. And we have the power. And that power comes from Christ. Just like Christ called his first disciples to be fishers of men. That's what we need to do. That's what our purpose is. That's why God doesn't call us home. He asked us to be fishers of men. So my challenge is to you and to myself as well, is to go and make fishers of men. Praise him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for just everything you've done for us. And God, I just pray you just give us the strength to be able to do your will, Lord. May we just turn to you and just look into your smiling face, Lord, that we're doing what we need to do. Be with each one of us now, and just thank you that we could be here and worship you. And I pray that we just grow closer to you through everything, our fellowship as well. And it's in your son's name I pray. Amen.
Please rise and join us in closing worship.
Was not with
Thank you, praise team. The Lord and his purposes are perfect, and we must realize that we are not. We sometimes fill our hearts with doubt during our busy lives, and it keeps us from living out the purposes that he has established for us. The Bible ensures us that the Lord has created us and has given each of us a purpose. He's also given us the power and the authority to do his will. And now, to him is able to keep you from stumbling, and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and great joy. To the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. Go in peace.